as we are going to open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please take your seats. By the way, I missed to acknowledge a very important person. I don't know if Saul Malaki is here with us today. Saul, where are you? Can we give Saul a very good sounding welcome? Saul is having a concert this coming February 24. All right? Saul is of course, one of us is from the Philippines, but he's based now in the States. He's a famous Filipino-American tenor based in Los Angeles, and is here to serve the church. Amen? And that's why we have the UCCP Bradford Grand Choir to promote their concert. All right? So we will be listening. So today is a special Sunday. We will be listening to three anthems, one from our choir here and two from you, right? Did you prepare for an anchor? Anyway, so who's your one? That's our evangelistic, emphasis in our church. That is our campaign. We do this every year, every first quarter of the year. Our focus is on who's your one. And this is basically, brethren, a response of our church to the Great Commission. Remember Jesus Christ, before He ascended to heaven, He gave His last will and testament to the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, it's been 2,000 years since our Lord ascended, and still some nations do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the work is not yet done. That is why we have the Gideons, we have the churches, we have OM International and all other ministries working together so that everyone will come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said earlier, brethren, this campaign in our church is very simple. Each one of us, if you call yourself a born-again believer, if you call yourself a Christian, you are to reach to one person. All right? Every person with Jesus Christ must reach out to one person who don't have Christ. Each one reach one, each month. So the goal is that for 1 month, I need to share the gospel to somebody. I need to tell somebody about the wonderful grace of salvation that Jesus Christ gave us. Remember in our sermon last Sunday, brethren, we talked about the lost sheep. Remember? Luke chapter 15. One person matters so much to God. All right? Now, in verse 7, how Jesus Christ ended the parable, Jesus said, in the same way, there will be more what? Rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In other words, what gets heaven celebrating, what gets Jesus excited, and what gets the angel so excited, it's that when one single lost person comes to Christ. That's the goal. Friends, I know the churches today have all reasons to celebrate, but heaven has only one reason to celebrate, and that is the salvation of one soul. Now, if that is what makes God so happy, then that ought to be the focus of the church. Amen? One person. So, today, we relaunch, and we will be giving out you this card. All right? I don't know if this is inserted in your programs. Who's your one? All right? And our main strategy to evangelize is this: pray, care, share, and then bring. All right? Now, this is not something new to us because we launched this 8 years ago, if you remember. Pray, care, share. Now, this card will just give you simple steps at the back. All right? It starts with pray, and then you care, and then you share, and then you bring them to church. All right? Now, today, our focus is on that first step. Pray. All right? So, that's our message today. That's why the title of our message today, Pray for Your One. All right? Everything starts with prayer. All right? The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ started with prayer. Jesus never preached the first sermon. He never healed until he first prayed. Remember how Jesus started his ministry? 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. All right? All the expansion of the church. How did the church came to be in Acts chapter 2? What happened to the church in Acts chapter 1? They were praying in the upper room. No? Now, who launched Paul and Barnabas, all right, to plant churches in Asia Minor and then to Europe? It all started in Acts chapter 13 when a group of elders prayed. In other words, brethren, everything starts with prayer. Evangelism starts with prayer. So the first step to sharing the gospel, before you even make your talk, you talk first to God. Amen? And our lesson today brings us to 1 Timothy. All right? Now, 1 Timothy, just to give you a very quick background, 1 Timothy is one of the three epistles of Paul that he wrote to two of his disciples, you know, Timothy, and the other one is Titus. These are church epistles. In other words, Paul wrote these letters to instruct these pastors how to govern the church. So if you read 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, you're talking here of a senior pastor writing to his young pastors on how the church must be governed, how the church affairs must be done, the worship, all right? And so as we come to chapter 2, we find here Paul urging Timothy, you know, the basics. When you start your worship, when you start your ministry, you start with this. And so today we are going to talk from these first four verses, the importance of prayer and its connection to evangelism. All right, just 3 points, right? You know, we are Trinitarian, so we're just okay with 3 points. But there are sub-points. All right, are you ready? So do you have your sermon notes with you? All right, let's begin with the first lesson. Here's the first lesson, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. That's the first thing that Paul mentions in verse 1. Notice verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people. Notice that phrase, first of all. First priority. All right? So Paul is urging Timothy, don't focus on the programs immediately. Focus on prayer. We need to start with the right thing. And the right start of any ministry, whatever it is, whether it's discipleship, evangelism, worship, whatever it is, we all start with prayer. That's the priority. You know, when the Bible says, I urge them first of all, you know, Paul there is saying, this is first in order. All right? So the line there, first of all, literally means this is first in rank, first in importance. The most important thing, brethren, when we come to evangelism is to pray. I don't know if it was Rick Warren or somebody else, but you remember when we had our 40 days of the Word and 40 days of prayer? You know, we have this line. Before you talk to man about God, talk to God first about man. You get that? Before you talk to man about God, before you share to someone about God, we have to talk first to God about that man. You know, it's very important. You know why? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual warfare. Remember in our lesson last Sunday, or many Sundays ago, not last Sunday, but remember when we were talking about the parable of the sower? Remember what the devil does? What is the mission of the devil? The mission of the devil is to snatch the word of God from their hearts. All right? Remember? The soil that fell along the path. See? Jesus says, they represent the hearts of those who listen to the word. But since their hearts are so close, you know, the enemy is so quick to harvest the word, remove it. And that is why every time you share the gospel, every time you have an intention to share the gospel to somebody, I want you to know this for sure, the devil is also working. You know, he makes all things. Like, for example, I told you this. You know, the devil knew that the gospel is preached in the pulpit on Sunday, and so the devil wants you to enjoy your Saturday night. You know, somebody will invite you, there's a party, and then you ate too much or drunk too much, and then come Sunday, you're drowsy, and you're trying to open your eyes, and you're sleepy. And I guess somebody of you are already like that. See? Remember? That's what the devil does. That's why it's important that we pray. It's important that as a church, you pray, Lord, tomorrow is a Sunday. It's a big day for you, Lord. And I know the devil is already lurking. I know the devil is already planning to snatch your word. And so we have to be prayerful. That's why it's a priority. Now, back in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 9, this is evangelism, all right? Notice this, verse 36, 37, when Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus felt their need. No, these were Jews who were hungry for spiritual food. And so when he saw them, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus declared that. But you know the very first step that Jesus did? Okay? What's the very first thing? When he saw the field, when he saw the harvest, when he saw the people, unsay gibuhat ni Jesus, okay, mag-training ta. Did Jesus jump immediately to training? Okay, disciples, let's have training. No. Notice the next verse, verse 37. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You see, the priority of prayer. When Jesus saw that there's a need for people to be saved, the very first thing that he asked his disciples is not go and train, no. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray. You know why we need prayer, brethren? Because only God can open the heart of sinners. Some of us think that, you know, I'm not capable of sharing, Pastor. You know, I don't have the guts, I don't have the skills, you know. Di ko may musulti. It has nothing to do with you. See? It is God. Amen? It is God who will open hearts. You know, success in witnessing, according to Campus Crusade for Christ, is simply taking what? The initiative to share the gospel and leaving the result to the Holy Spirit. In other words, that's why we start with prayer, because this is the work of God working in the hearts of men. All right? Now, there are three things that I want to share again under this priority of prayer. Three things that we find in verse 1. First, the content of prayer. Write this down in your notes. The content of prayer. What are we supposed to pray? All right? And then, notice St. Paul in verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that's the priority of prayer, that, and here, Paul gives us the content, the elements. What should be the elements of our prayer? And there are how many? Four. Petitions. What are petitions? Petitions, basically, these are supplications. All right? Deesis in Greek. Deesis. Simply asking for something. So, when you start to pray for your one, first, you ask for supplications. It could be, Lord, can you please give me boldness? Or, Lord, can you please... You know, sometimes, I don't know with you, but most of those my ones in the past years, my ones are usually referrals. People with problems, people with, you know, they have depression, okay? And now, it's so expensive, by the way, to go to a psychologist. 1 hour is 2,000, okay? By the time nakaabot na kag sex mga ika-tenth session nimo, wa ka na ulian kay nabulsot imong bulsa, so nagsamot ka ka-depressed. All right? And so some of these friends, you know what? In our church, you know, it's free. So, in our church, one of our ministries here that's really working is when we do counseling. Biblical counseling, not psychological counseling, but biblical counseling. It's free. And you know what? When people have needs, and when they come to the right person, and that person is Jesus Christ, you know what will happen? It will change their life. But God used the problem. So one of the supplications that I do is this, Lord, give people more problems. Because when they have problems, they come to you. All right? Supplication. What are your problems? You have to tell God your problems. Amen? And give God the details of your problems. Don't just tell God, Lord, I need food. Be specific. Now, next, the word prayers. So petitions, prayers. Now, the word prayer there in Greek is zouké, and it's just prosoké, rather. And it simply means an act of worship. All right? In prayer. Meaning to say, when we pray, we need to understand that we are in God's presence. All right? When we pray, we are in God's presence. So, while we give our petition, we need to have the right attitude of our hearts and our minds. That I'm not talking to just anybody. I'm talking to God. All right? And so, I need to have the right posture. That's the word prayer. And then, intercession. What's that? Intercession from, you know, it comes from the word that means to fall in with. That means you are praying for the needs of others on behalf. All right? Intercessory prayer. You don't just pray for yourself. You pray. So what are the contents of your prayer? I pray for my own supplication. I need to have the right attitude. And then I'll start praying for the person's needs. That's why when you pray for your one, you need to text your one. What are your needs today? Can I pray for you? All right? Now, just to give you a very fresh testimony, you know, yesterday, you know, I'm doing counseling, and sometimes when life becomes better, you know, the counseling becomes less and less. And I just, you know, while in the middle of preparing sermons and you know, meeting the choir here, after the rehearsal, you know, I text one of my counselees, how are you? What can I pray for you? And then, she came, and then we had a session yesterday, and you know what? She was about to make a big decision that she would regret if we did not have the time to prayer. And she said, I'm going to do this, nagyut pastor. But then you suddenly text. That's the work of God. See? You just don't know what people are going through. And so your text of, what can I do for you? How are you? It matters. Amen? You ask. That's intercession. And then there's thanksgiving. See? Praise God. No? Praise God for, you know, steps of success, even little things. You don't have to wait for big things to happen and then you thank God. No. Thank God even in small details. You know? You talk to your one and then your one says, you know what? I got hired today, then celebrate. Thank God for this. So these are the content. Now from the content, let's go to the next, the extent of prayer. The extent of prayer. Notice the last part of verse 1. We are still in verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that's the priority of prayer, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, that's the content. Now, notice the next phrase, be made for all people. Friends, what is God's desire when we pray? The content of our prayer is that God wants us to pray for all people. Is that possible, Pastor? To pray for all? Well, I don't think the all here means every single human being in the world. Because later on, you will find in the next phrase, it says, for kings and all those in authority. In other words, when the Bible says, I urge you to please pray for all people and those kings and those in authority, God wants us to expand the content of our prayers. Because a lot of times, listen, a lot of Christians are so selfish when it comes to prayers. Yes, we pray, but it's all me. Lord, bless me. Bless my business. Lord, give me clients. Lord, give me more money. Give me good health. Most of our prayers are selfish prayers. See? Here, the Bible tells us what should be the content of our prayers, not just for you, but the Bible says for all people. In other words, who are the people that you know in your circle or relationships? That's why our pastoral prayer is a good model. Remember? We don't just pray for ourselves. We pray for the sick. We pray for those who are grieving. We pray for our city. We pray for our nation. We pray even for the world. All right? So God wants us to be pivotal in our prayers. That we don't just pray for specific our own needs. God wants us to expand the content, the horizons of our prayer. But there is a special mention here for kings and those in authority. It's a biblical thing. You know? Now, honestly, how many of us include to pray for our city and our nation in our daily prayers? See? It's like, nahurot na gani akong time pa sa ako lang prayer. See? It's like, sa kadaghan sa akong ipangayo, Pastor, akong amen, to anas buntag. Kaya nakatug. See? But here, the Bible is teaching us how to pray. See? That the extent of our prayers is not just for my own. I'm supposed to pray for all people, and I believe that the all people there in the context is to all the people that you know in your circle. All right? So I pray for friends. I pray for those in need. So in other words, friends, prayer time is not just a time that, you know, it's just a routine. Somebody else needs your prayer. Amen? You need to understand, if I can't mention them in my prayers today, they might be in trouble. You need to understand how your prayers, how my prayers are so vital to the needs of others. That praying for our president is important. Sometimes we think that, you know, it's just part of the pastoral prayer that you pray for the nation. No. It's not just because it's part of the pastoral prayer or the community prayer. No, it's what the Bible teaches. Amen? That first of all, before you pray for programs, you pray for people. Why? Because it is people that matters to God. Amen? That's why we pray for kings and all in authorities. Now, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Now, I believe that Paul wants the church to pray for leaders, for presidents, for governors. You know why? Because the existence of the church also depends on how this government allows us. Now, you need to understand who was the emperor. You know, when Paul wrote this letter, who was the emperor of Rome at the time? Anybody? It was Nero. And you know the reputation of Nero in history. He was probably the worst emperor. He was responsible of burning so many Christians at stake. See? He made Christians like candles on the streets of Rome. And yet Paul says, pray for the kings and those in authority. You see? We don't just pray for the president when the president is pro us, pro our beliefs. No. This is the time when the emperor was so against Christianity. And yet Paul commands us, pray for the kings and all in authority. All right? You know why it's important? So the content, the extent. Now let's go to the intent. Why? Why should we ask, why should we pray for a president that I did not vote? Ano mo? Pray mo kung ano, makuha na ning vote. All right? You know why? Why it's important that we should be praying? Like, somebody might think, ala, si Pastor Maki, si Pernilagi na si Marcos in part sa prayer every Sunday. Ning butar siguro na siya ni Marcos. You know? We don't want to be political here, you know. Whoever is sitting there, even if we don't vote for him, God put him there. And it is our moral obligation to pray because that's what the Bible says. Amen? Now, what is this intent? Notice this. What is the intent? Why we need to pray for leaders, for people? Notice the result. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You see that? We pray for them and then who gets the benefit? Kita. We benefit from our prayers. And the idea is this. When these people come to the Lord, when our president becomes a Christian, when our mayors, when our lawmakers are born again believers, can you imagine the impact of these people in the way we live? See, that's the point. The church is supposed to pray for the salvation of our leaders. You know why? Because who gets to benefit when these people are changed by the Lord? We. The reason why we're having hard times, it's because of corruption. But corruption cannot be eliminated by laws. Corruption is something spiritual. Corruption is in the inside. The human heart is evil. You know, nothing can heal the human heart. It's just greed and selfishness. But what can change a filthy, wicked heart? Only the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we, church, pray for our leaders for their salvation, the Bible says, we can live peaceful and quiet lives. There will be religious freedom. Can you imagine that? Praise God. We have presidents who proclaim, you know, that we have the Bible month. And we've been celebrating that. We've just celebrated a Bible Sunday 2 Sundays ago, every last Sunday of January. And praise God that we have a president, see, who acknowledges that the nation needs the Word of God. And we continue, friends. And when we pray, we ask you, brethren, don't just wait for the pastoral prayer to mention the present. Mention that in your own prayers. In fact, let me extend my tip for you. You know, traffic. Who among us here are affected by traffic every day? See? You know, traffic can be so beneficial. Because when there is nothing else to do when you're stuck in a traffic, you can actually use that to pray. That's what I do. Whenever there's traffic, I pray for the stores there. If there are people there, you pray for these people. See? We can all benefit. You know, not all hassles in life are useless. Amen? We can use that to pray. All right? So that's the priority of prayer. Now let's go to the second. We come to the pleasure of prayer. The pleasure of prayer. Verse 3. This is just short. Look at verse 3. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. All right? Now, all of us, remember, what is the goal of every born-again believer? What is the goal of every Christian? Remember, our goal is to do what's right, to do what's good. Our goal is to please our Lord. Amen? We exist to glorify Him. We exist to please Him. Now, you know, you ask, but Pastor, what is that one thing that is good, both good and glorifies the Lord? Now, here's the thing. When we pray for all people, especially kings and those in authority, this is verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Now, there the Bible tells us, the very heart of God. For God, what makes Him happy, what pleases God, what God considers good, it's when we pray. It's when we prioritize prayer. Now, the word for good there, by the way, it literally means excellent, praiseworthy. It is excellent. Paul says, if you want something excellent that you do, you pray. See? You pray. Sometimes we say that's the least that you can do, but literally, it's the most that we can do for people. Amen? Because our prayers can go far when you're limited with your time, with your money, with your resources. Prayers are unlimited in its reach. Amen? They say when man works, but when man prays, God works. Amen? It can reach so far. And I just don't know, you know, because our program today is quite lengthy. You know, I wish supposedly to present testimonies here this morning, but because of time constraint, testimonies of people who are now in the Lord, who are now active in our church. But you know how they came to the Lord? Because somebody else has prayed for these people. In fact, you just don't know. You're here today because somebody prayed for you. A Lola, an auntie, a close friend. All right? People are praying. And you come to Christ because somebody prayed. But you know what? You can pass on the work. Somebody else needs to be saved. And it starts with your prayer. And the Bible says it's a good thing. It pleases the Lord. You want to know what pleases the Lord? When we pray for the salvation of people. Amen? Now, the word for pleases there literally means acceptable. For this is good. This is from the New King James Version. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Friends, our God is a saving God. Now, notice Ezekiel 18:23. Ezekiel. So, what pleases God and what does not please God? What does not please God? All right, Ezekiel 18:23, look at this. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? You know the obvious answer. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? What's the obvious answer? No. He never takes pleasure. Don't ever think that when sinners go to hell and suffer in the hell forever, that God is laughing. Ha, 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 Mayra. Kita ramay mo yung ana, di ba? Labo ng mga Pinoy, di ba? Tanaw kayo tagsalidaw niya, ang kana ang kontrabida, baka nang gigikulata na mo. Sige, sige, Mayra, Mayra. Kuso kita, may ana. See? It delights us when our enemies are suffering. But it doesn't delight God. See? You need to understand the heart of God. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased? See, what pleases the Lord? Am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? Amen? Now we understand, brethren, what is the heart of God? The heart of God is that people turn from their wicked ways. It pleases God when we turn away from our evil ways and live and worship Him and serve Him. So what's the greatest thing you can do to someone is to start praying for their salvation. You want to do the greatest thing that would really make God so happy about your life? Start praying for a lost soul. That pleases the Lord. Now that brings us to the last part, verse 4, because we are only studying 4 verses. So we've heard about the priority of prayer. First of all, that's what the Bible says. First of all, and then the pleasure, what pleases God, when we pray, it is good and it pleases God, our Savior. And then third, the purpose of prayer. Why all these prayers? Why we have Who's Your One campaign? Why? Notice verse 4. I want you to really focus on this verse because this is very important, brethren. All right? It pleases God, our Savior. Please connect this because this is just part of the same sentence. You know, first of all, we need to pray for all. Remember, for those kings and authorities. Why? Because it is good and pleases God our Savior. Now, it's not a period. Who pleases God our Savior. And here's the main thing. Who wants all people to be saved. All right? Who wants all people to be saved. Friends, that's the purpose why we should prioritize prayer. Because it is God's desire that all people be saved and to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Now, let me just see the nuances of that word once. In order to see is to get other versions and compare, right? So that's how we study the word. We compare it with other versions. This is from the NIV. Now, what about the NASB, New American Standard Bible? It says, who desires all men to be saved. Everything is the same except the word desire. So, the other word for wants is desires. Now, in the King James Version, you know, and most of the Gideons coming from the King James Version, who will have all men to be saved. It's the word will. All right? Now, let's try to understand. God wants all men to be saved. Now, can we conclude that if God wants all men to be saved and, you know, there is nothing difficult for God to do and then He wants all men to be saved, do we have a conclusion that therefore everyone will eventually be saved? As the universalism teaches, we always say no because we evangelicals say that's not what the Bible says. But the Bible says here, who wills that all men to be saved? Now, if God can do whatever He wants, then why not save everyone? And so no more hell. But of course, we know it's not true because Jesus made it clear that there are two paths. One, wide, broad, that leads to destruction. One that leads to the narrow, leads to life. And Jesus is saying, the broad road, the wide gate, leads to destruction. And you know what Jesus says? And many are going there. Many are going there. In other words, Jesus already gave us a figure. Unsay daghan kalag, Pastor, ang impyerno or ang langit? Impyerno, obviously. More are going there. So, if that's what Jesus says, that what happens to the will of God here? Does the will of God, can the will of God be thwarted? Now, it's so hard if we don't understand the word that Paul is using. All right? Now, let me teach you some theology. Okay, theology 101. Two kinds of God's will. All right? The first one is thelema. Desired will. The other one is bolema, decreed will. These are two Greek words used in the Bible because, again, if you're just reading the English translation, it just translates will. But then you need to understand the exact word that Paul used or Jesus used. Now, thelema or thelu from the verb thelu has something to do with the desire of God. All right? It is the desire of God that everyone should be saved. That's the word used in this verse. The other will is bulema. This speaks of God's sovereign will, His decreed will, His will that can never be changed. Now, give an example of the Bulema decree of God. God decreed that there will be a fall. So the fall happened. God decreed that He's going to create man. So nothing will stop that. God decreed that this is how history, like for example, how history, you know, provided a way for the Jews, you know, to resurface in 1948. That's what we call the decree of God. In other words, not even Satan could stop that. But the desired will, we're talking here of the preferred will, you know, the inclination, the desire of God. Now, question, do you think God desires that everyone should obey His word? Yes. Question, can we go against that will? Yes. That's what is being used in this verse. See? When the Bible says that God desires all men to be saved, this is not bulema. The Greek word used there is thelu. That means His desired will. In other words, it is the desire of God. It is really the heart of God that everyone should be saved. But this will, this desired will, can be rejected and can be resisted by man. In the same way that the Bible says, it is the will of God that all of us live a holy life. Question, can we go against that will of God? Yes, because that's a thelu will. It is His desire. See? But the decreed will, bulema, these are decrees that cannot be changed. What are examples of the bulema decrees of God? The decree to elect some to be saved. Election, the doctrine of election. All right? You see, God's desire, thelema, is that all people might be saved. But God's decree, bulema, is that only the elect will be saved. See? Something that God decreed. And we find this, brethren, in the Bible, the pages of the Bible. That while God desires people, He desires people to repent of their sins, but He knew that even in that desire, people will disobey. But there are wills of God that even man's own resistance cannot change. Like for example, the fact that there's going to be hell. No matter how we try to eliminate hell, there will always be hell. Why? Because there will always be people who will disobey the will of God. And it ends, the verse ends with, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, this is very important, brethren, because this tells us how people are going to come to be saved. How will they be saved? It says there, to come to a knowledge of the truth. You cannot be saved. A sinner cannot be saved unless they come to the knowledge of the truth. Whose truth? Which truth? The truth of the Bible. Amen. The truth of Christ. Remember, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See? There is no salvation outside the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They need to know. See? They need to know who Jesus Christ is, and they need to live His truth. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. A lot of people are living in lies today. They say they're Christians, they're born again, but they're not living according to the truth. Their lifestyle are more on the world than the Lord. A lot of people are thinking they're saved. Friends, the knowledge of the truth changes your life. See? Your attendance here in Bradford Church does not warrant your salvation. I always remind you that. Me being your close friend doesn't give you the assurance of your salvation. It's your changed life. See? Because real knowledge of the truth of God changes lives. A real born-again person is no longer the same. Remember? Anyone who is in Christ, he becomes what? A new creation. The old is gone. Your old life is gone, brethren. But your new life is in Christ. And it starts with your knowledge of the truth. Amen? Now, let's come to the closing. Now, I'd like to close with some practical applications. I'm not yet done yet with my PowerPoint. Okay, hasa sila anxious na to end me. All right, how can you pray for your one? What are we to pray for? All right, what are we to pray for exactly? Just to leave you three basic applications. I want you to do something this week for your one. What are now? I'd like to use 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, 4 to 6. Okay? Now, this is a reply. This is a result of prayer. So, remember, we want to begin with the end in mind. All right? So, I want us to read a letter of Paul to people that he'd been praying for. And from this, we will know what to do. Notice this. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. That's bulema, will of God. He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with what? With power, with the Holy Spirit. In other words, when these people in Thessalonica hear the gospel, they were not just words of Paul. They were not just words of Pastor Maki or the pastor preaching here. But it says there, with power and Holy Spirit. Listen, even if the preacher is a very good, eloquent preacher, without the Holy Spirit's power, there's no heart's change. Bisan pagkahilak ka dihag maayo sa iyang gisulti. If there's no power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, I tell you, there's no conversion. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy, take note, given by the Holy Spirit. You see? So here Paul wants us to understand that when we share the gospel to people, it should be the power of the Spirit at work, not my own power. So therefore, what should we be praying? If this is the result, they welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering, what should be the things that we should be praying? Three things before I go. Number one, therefore, ask God for what? Opportunities to find your one. That's our assignment. That's your assignment today, brethren. Ask opportunities. Lord, you know why this is important? Because the devil will also get in, you know, opportunities. I tell you, when you start to pray for someone, imo siyang inviton, guess what? Another friend invites that person. Kanya suddenly, nahimong mga Indian. Gi-Indian ka. Diba? So, that's why you need to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, can you please free the schedule of my friend this week? Lord, babagi. Babagi, Lord, if Satan is trying to, you know, to coerce your plan, Lord, fail the plans of the enemy. So ask for opportunities. Number two, ask God for what? Operation of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your one. So you pray, Lord, I want you to pray, Father, I'm praying for this person. Let's just say the person, the name of the person is John. Lord, I pray for John. Work in his heart. Let your Holy Spirit work in his heart. Lord, soften his heart. Soften the resistance in his heart, Lord. Ask the operation. Remember, you cannot bring your one unless the Holy Spirit comes with conviction. And third, ask God for what? Openness of your one's heart for the gospel. Remember the Thessalonians? They welcome the word of God. Ask the Lord, Lord, please open the heart of this person so that when I start to talk to him about Christ or when I start to invite him to come to church, he would just simply say, yes. Amen? Simple. Opportunities, operation of the Spirit, and the openness of their hearts. And you know what? Only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. You are just the instrument of the Spirit. And with that, brethren, I hope that we can start praying for your one. Therefore, who is your one? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We give you back the glory and the honor. Allow your Spirit, Lord, to work in each of our hearts so that the devil will not snatch away and remove the word that we have received from you today. Bless it, O God, so that our lives will be transformed, that just like you, we will be excited to bring our one and share the gospel to that one so that you will have celebration in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.